שורש הרבה פות הזין. Rebbe is explaining the yisayid that's in all of his farm, how even things during the course of a regular day, divrei rishus, that they're constantly changing moods that reflect the different ups and downs of the day, all kinds of daigas, worries, or little simchas, little moments of joy that come with minor events that take place during the day, but nonetheless are opportunities of his galus and nefesh, of the nefesh being revealed, of a person feeling, coming into contact with his emotions. And because of that, since it's a hisfakshus, even hisfakshus that has to do with business or whatever it might be, it's a something which is divrei rishus. But sof kol sof, it's a hisgalus hanefesh. And if it's a hisgalus hanefesh, so by a Jew, even that little bit of joy, that little bit of worry or anxiety or sadness that takes place during the course of a day, it's only mislabish, it's only enclosed in things of this world. But the emes is that underneath it, that feeling, that raw emotion, is something which is coming from the place of holiness, is coming from the nefesh. And therefore, the Rebbe was explaining on the top of Kuf Tazayin that a person should use it as an opportunity. If he familiarizes himself with Tehillim, so then when he's feeling a certain way, because of things that are happening during the course of the day, then he's able to open up for a minute and to say a capital Tehillim, and this will have an enormous effect upon his entire Avodas Hashem. This will change his davening, his regular davening. Everything will become transformed because of his being able to, instead of trying during regular davening, a person has to, it's a big avodah to try to work on that, but if a person becomes somebody who lives with Hashem's Baruch throughout the course of the day, he lives with the Baruch Shalom. It's not, Hashem is not a stranger that he approaches with somebody else's words, or in some appointed, specified time of the day when it could be that he's not feeling anything in his heart, or his nefesh are closed. But instead, the person. Kivyachal befriends Hashem and develops a relationship with Him, because when does he feel the significance of that relationship and the importance of that relationship? When there's a Hizgalus and Nefesh, and at that time of the Hizgalus and Nefesh, which often doesn't happen at this specific time of Tefillah, of course that's wonderful and it could, and it's an Avodah, but it often doesn't happen, but it happens. The Hizgalus and Nefesh happen for all different reasons during the time of a regular day. So if those opportunities are used as a time to turn to Hashem and to connect to Hashem, so then the person develops a Hizkashus, develops a Keshe with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he enters into that world. The Gemara says, Halavai shispala ha'adam kol hayom kulag. Halavai that a person should daven the entire day. And that halavai shispal ha'odam kalayam kula doesn't mean that a person should be standing in shul the entire day. Halavai shispal ha'odam kula means that halavai that a person develops a kesher with Hashem, that kalayam kula, that all of the things that happen in the course of a regular day are used as opportunities for a second, for 2 seconds, either with a tilum or a person's own words, to be miskasha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that a person should live with the Ribono Shel Olam. And he says on Kuf Tazayin, the second paragraph, David says, I'm not saying that a person should just like suddenly, come in from the street, from the marketplace, and to say words stam without any heart, without any thinking, just the stam what comes out of his mouth. I'm saying that a person should think about something. Take a look. There are certain things that are worrying you. Whatever it could be, at business, something's worrying you about their family, there you have a daiga. So the Rebbe says, Tizboinin mikaidim medaiga isecha. Think about what is it that's worrying you. Think about the daigas. Daigas elo hamoinos oischa umitsa'arais lecha kol kar harbe. These are daigas that are holding you back so much in life, and these are daigas that cause you a tremendous amount of anguish, a tremendous amount of pain. And who could you go to with these daigas? And who's going to help you with these daigas? These are daigas, these are regular daigas that a person has, that oftentimes we're even, you know, we don't talk to people about it. We're going to talk to, even though it's daigas b'levish, it's a good thing if you have a close friend, if you could talk, to your spouse. But a person goes around with daigas, all kinds of daigas. V'al mi teilech mi yeshiacha. Imla kadosh baruch hu ha'kol yochel avarachaman. A person has to learn how to go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with his daigas and to turn to Hashem as Baruch. It's Avarachaman. And there's nothing that's so small that Hashem as Baruch is not interested or it's not important. Chas v'shalom. Every single thing. Alzeis yispala kol chasim. The Gemara talks about different things. Alzeis yispala kol chasim. Le'eis mitzay. The Gemara talks about le'eis mitzay. I feel the beis hakisa. Even if it's a question of how a person feels, how his stomach is hurting or something. So the Gemara says, alzeis yispala kol chasim. Le'eis mitzay. Le'eis mitzay means when things happen to a person, with a person's feelings. Alzeis yispala kol chasim. But David HaMelech said about himself, avani tefila. Vani tefillah means that the whole mitzvah of David HaMelech was davening, but everything in his life, it was always with tefillah together. It wasn't anything that in his life wasn't together with tefillah. Whatever he experienced, it was always together with tefillah. It was always vani tefillah, together with davening. That's what it means to live a life of tefillah. Not just that davening is something that a person does three times a day, that he has to go daven. Of course he does, but besides that, vani tefila, halavai shispala adam kolayim kulo means that a person's entire life it revolves around tefila, not just at the zman and the specific times, but throughout the course of the day. A person says daig, a person says simcha, a person says simcha. He goes and talks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving him that simcha, and so on. And that way the person's entire life becomes a life with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, becomes Vani Tefila. You approach the Kisei HaKavod, you approach Hashem's throne. And in your mind, you picture this in your mind. The Kvayd Hashem Sha'amid Atal of his Baruch and Mishchanin. Of course, you don't picture anything, you know, anybody sitting on a chair with a long white beard. We spoke about this a lot. But a person is Mitzayah himself standing in front of some throne. And Sha'amid Atal of his Baruch and Mishchanin. And you see yourself standing in front of Hashem's Baruch and begging Hashem, calling out to him and saying, Hashem, Ma Rab Lutzarai, Rab Ma'imil Nafshi, Ein Yeshua Salai Labilakim. So that's the beginning of Tehillim. An example, Rab Ma'imil Nafshi, Ein Yeshua Salai Labilakim. So he said, if a person feels that there are right from, that there are people who are giving him a hard time, and so on. Kachem Aimrim, Kachem Aimrim. That's what these people say. Kachem Aimrim. In other words, these people in my life, who are causing me tzaras, or these people in my life who don't have any confidence in me, who don't think highly of me, and so on and so forth. So kachem aymer, alva'ata Hashem magim da'adi, kroydu meirim reishi. But you, Hashem is baruch. You, Hashem is baruch. You protect me, and so on. Va'ach shatayim es pirkei tehillim. And after you've thought about what is it that's upsetting you and worrying you, and you've tried to say a few kapitel tehillim, tispalol b'ficha. So it's good to begin. It's good to begin with a few kapitel tehillim, not just with your own words. It's good to begin with a parak of tehillim that relates to that that relates to that which you're going through. David HaMelech opened up a path for all of us all of the time, anything that we're going to go through. And when one begins with David HaMelech, then it opens up for one's own personal tefillos as well. So after that, then afterwards, daven in your language, whatever language that you're comfortable with. Whatever words come out, whatever you feel like saying. And you allow yourself to just be carried from one word to the next word, from one sentence to the next sentence. You will feel that your ruach, your machshavas are getting stronger and they're rising. And you will see that what happens is that slowly, it's no longer that you're no longer tied down and thinking about the tzarchei haguf, that inyan at work, or the inyan from Parnasa, or with the children, or the inyan of whatever it might be, of being upset with people and so on, that you already took off, you're already separated from that, it all starts off with that, and that's why you were davening, and that's how it all began. But as the diburim, as you work on this program, you begin to ataizev esarche gufka. You're no longer tied down by the needs of your guf. And a scream explodes from the depths of your heart. It's no longer a question of this guy at work, is trying to get ahead of me, or whatever it is during the day that upsets you, whatever it is. But at this point, on its own, there comes out from, there emerges from within the person, Rabbeinu Shalom, Karveni Elecha, bring me close to you, Taher Oisi, purify me, Hala Oisi, Mikol Daigus Elu, lift me up from all of these daigus, lift me up that I shouldn't be, that these are things that shouldn't weigh me down, that shouldn't affect me, Hala Oisi, Mikol Daigus Elu, that I should be able to be close to you. You see that this whole time of the year, and the whole Laman Chilukim Chaim, the Sach HaKol of Yom Neroim, if a person thinks that the whole Tachlis of Yom Neroim is to be able to make it through the next year, to be alive. In other words, that if it were possible that somebody would come over, another would come over to whisper you and say to you, don't worry, everything's okay. I saw in the Vua that you're going to live through next year. Everything's fine. 100%. Right? Erev Rosh Hashanah told you, don't worry, next year's fine. You see, yeah? No kidding. You close the machzor, and then you'd find that when it comes to Nisan HaTokiv, you don't have to scream out Shuva, Tefillin. You don't have to scream out anything. All of the piyuta back in the time of Gemara, they didn't have all these piyuta. They didn't have a machzor at the time of the Gemara. There's no machzor. Most of the piyutim, the some from the Gaonim, mostly they're from later on in the Rishonim, they didn't have a machzor. Davening of Kippur was 15 minutes. What was davening? It was what a person, karveni, tahareni, a person saying some words. It wasn't a machzor. The machzor came about over the years because as we were growing further and further and further away from Hashem Yisbarach, so the Rishonim was seeking more words, more diburim to Hashem Yisbarach to help us to feel something, to think about something. It wasn't a machzor. A long time ago there was no machzor. It was Yom Kippur. And a person understood what that meant, Yom Kippur. So a person who comes to these days, who comes to Slichas Hashanah Yom Kippur, so if an Avi B'Taka say that you don't have to worry, next year is fine, you and your family, everybody is okay. so then you wouldn't feel a tzarech to daven at all. Why wouldn't you feel a tzarech to daven? Because the main reason that we get nervous and we figure we better show up at Slichus and we better say stuff, you know, and we better say stuff in Rosh Hashanah Kippur, just, you know, to do whatever it's written over here, we just better say whatever we, you know, even though the whole year we might miss things, but we better say a lot of stuff now. The reason we feel that way is because our life is on the line. Our life is on the line. And we grew up hearing all the, you know, all the tziurim in yeshiva about how you're standing in the court and, you know, and they have this book in there and you know, this, and God is looking at you and angry and, you know, about this and that, and you gotta beg him for this and ask him for that, and Bona Chaim designed that you should be able to manage to get through another year. But is that the tachlis of Rosh Hashanah Kippur? Is the tachlis of Rosh Hashanah Kippur really to make through the year? The whole tachlis of the Yom Nevoim is dveikus b'Hashem, is to be dovek b'Hashem, is to be attached to the Rebbe Shlom. It's his karvus Hashem. It's the whole tachlis of the Yom Nevoim. Certainly the Rebbe Shlom gave us an opportunity, and it's good to ask for the things that we need. But let's say you had a real good davening, a real, real good davening. Rosh Hashanah Kippur was very good. And the Baruch Shalom sent now a different Navi. The Navi said to you, listen, it's going to be a gewaldige year. See, really? He said, yeah. The Navi says, you're going to lose your job. They're going to throw you out of your house because you can't pay the mortgage. And you're going to move into some small apartment someplace. And you can barely have enough to put some bread and water on the table. But you're going to have a tremendous amount of Iskarvas Dasham this coming year. Because you daven so beautifully, Rosh Hashanah Kippur, the Baruch Shalom is answering your tefillah. Because you kept on asking him the tefillahs, you kept on asking him Tahel Libeinu and all the nice things. You were asking him Laman Chelukim Chaim, and it registered very big in Shemaim how you kept on saying Laman Chelukim Chaim, for your sake, Rosh Hashanah, only for your sake. So the Baruch Shalom decided he's taking away from you all of your gashmius, so you should be able to live a life which is Laman Chelukim Chaim. So how would you feel if the Navi told you that? Would you say, Yashikoyah? Would you say, I never meant it like that. Laman Chelukim Chaim, I meant, you know, I should be able to have all that stuff and then live Laman Chelukim Chaim. So Navi says, no. We heard you in Shemayim crying by Hashem Elokim. Ooh, wah. And everybody in Shemayim is very nispal from that, and it was decided in the Bezen Shemala that you're not going to be bothered by anything physical anymore. So you should be free to live a life completely of Laman Chelukim Chaim. Total Laman Chelukim Chaim. You don't have to worry about anything anymore. You don't have to worry about your boss because he's firing you tomorrow. You don't have to worry about anything. Food, it's not going to be a big issue. You're not going to have to worry about which restaurant you're going to eat at because there's so many glakosha. You're not going to be able to afford any more restaurants. Pizza maybe once a month. But it's going to be a life of Laman Chelukim Chaim. No? So a person, that wouldn't be such good news. But the tachlis is all Laman Chelukim Chaim. It's all Laman Chelukim Chaim this time of the year. A side benefit of the Hiskarvis is when you're close to the king, that the things that you need you could talk to the king about. But the Iker is Hiskarvis to the king. So what the Rebbe is explaining is that when a person enters into this world of Anit Shila that we're talking about, even though when he comes, he speaks to Hashem about his inyonim. Same thing with Hashem Kippur. You speak to Hashem about all the things that you need and all the different things that worry you in life. But the tachlis is to come to a point where it's taka feeling of Laman Chelukim Chaim. Well, I don't need those things. Of course we need health. But I don't need the other things in life. I don't need the other things in life. It's Laman Chelukim Chaim. I just need his karvus Hashem. So when a person begins and he has a certain diet at work or things that are worrying him, and he starts with this thing so he has his galitz nefesh, and he starts to say some tehillim about that inyan, and then he talks in his own words. The Rebbe says that what happens is that naturally he begins to rise up from the needs of his body, and he begins to feel that that's not the ikkar of my life anyway. So now it doesn't bother him anymore that the guy at work looked at him the wrong way. It doesn't bother him anymore. You know, those things, they don't concern him. They don't take up his life. Because the person now is lifted up to a place of kirvas elokim, of kirvas Hashem. And in that place is Laman Chalakim Chaim. So then he says, so that's not what concerns him. That's not a need of his life. That's not something that means anything to him. So Mimela, it's not that he solves the issue of the daiga, and now he doesn't have any. Now the daiga has been taken care of, and he's going to be saved from the daiga. It's the daiga, is not a daiga. What he was worried about is nothing to worry about. It's the daiga, is not a daiga, because when he's living the manchal kim chay, that's what person's tefillah or shonim kippur. If what we're davening for is truly accomplished, which is to be able to attach ourselves to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to be closer to Hashem Yisbarach, so then so many of the things that we thought were problems are not problems. They're not really problems, and we don't live with these things weighing us down and destroying us, because the ikkar that a person has, and the tachlis of life, is that a person has a relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's what it means. Hal ha'oisi mikol daigis eilu kadei she'uch aliyas karv eilecha. B'lei v'nefesh tohar. B'lei v'nefesh tohar. That's what vidu yom kippur is to. It's to clean oneself, to take away all of those things that are separating between a person and the Ribbono Shel Olam. The way we think of it is that you know, we're in trouble, and if we don't say it, we have to at least apologize, or else we're going to get zapped. But the pnimius, the truth is that these are things that separate between a person and the Ribbono Shel Olam. And if we remove these things, which that's what kapara means, and kippur means cleaning, so then I'll be able to be close to Hashem Yisbarach, and that's the tachlis of my life. Of Laman Chalakim Chaim, is the tachlis of life. So after you already said some tilim, and you already were in your own words talking and crying out, so it's good to say a pasuk of ischaskus, to end with a pasuk of ischaskus. Come on, you know, everybody, people have favorite psukim, a pasuk that gives you know, your chizik with a nigin. Come on, Hashem roi le'echsa, right? Le'ira rok ki'ata Ribbono Shel Olam ata imodi, to say it again over ki'ata Ribbono Shel Olam ata imodi. And then you'll feel like Mamash, a different person. And you'll be filled with Simcha, Ki Hashem Imcha, the Divine Shalom is with you. Ki Be'emes Hashem Imcha. That's the truth. Ki Be'emes Hashem Imcha. U'befat v'sha'azu sh'shafach tas lipcha l'Hashem. And especially now at this time that you're pouring your heart out to Hashem, how unbelievably close you are to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the inyan of davening. That's the inyan of Kuru Bayose Karu of the Yom Niroim. She shows shall his roimus of his karvas. It's a time of tremendous roimus, of tremendous karvas. Over chol hayayim tagish achat tefila zu min einig ruchani. And each time, each day, whenever you dive in this way, afterwards you feel a very, very strong spiritual oinig, a tremendous pleasure, a tremendous oinig ruchani, oinig shel tahara. It's like, you know, the way a person feels a matzium kippur. There's such an oinig in a matzium kippur. I'm saying even before you put the first piece of food into your mouth, but there's an oinig of tahara. The thing that's weighing down most on a Jew is his aveiros. The thing that hurts a Jew most is his separation from Hashem. And after Yom Kippur, the person feels an unbelievable oinig ruchani. He feels so light. Because the things that was hurting most and that's weighing down most and his the daiga that worries him more than any other daiga is to be separated from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore the simcha of Matzim Kippur is that simcha lech echel b'simcha lach macha ki yoratzel kvar yoratzel kim es masacha, that feeling of ritzui, of making up with Hashem, that how often do we feel that? It's only Matzim Kippur, because really those days between Yom Kippur, because you know it's so hard to hold back from doing things that are wrong or wrong machshavas. But after Yom Kippur, those first few moments, that first little bit after Yom Kippur, that feeling of ritzui, that you're back on board, and the Baruch Shalom, you know, the way that he looks at you is beautiful. Right after the mikveh, but the whole day is mikveh Yisrael Hashem, and a person feels a tremendous joy, an einig ruchani, an einig shel tahara. There's no greater einig that a Jew can have than an einig shel tahara, than a feeling of pleasure, of being pure. Because the thing that weighs us down most and hurts us most is the impurity. And that's not going to last for long, unfortunately, because of different things in life. Nafshecha ha'isa b'gan Eden ha'yayim. You spent a little bit of time in Gan Eden. That's what it is. Nafshecha ha'isa b'gan Eden ha'yayim. How could you compare anything to the simcha of being in Gan Eden? That a person has an opportunity to be a little bit in Gan Eden. That's why this time, this tkufa that we're just now going to go into, the slichus, this whole time till after Simchas Torah, it's mamash a Gan Eden. It's a Gan Eden. And if a person approaches it in that way, not as something which is horrible and gloomy and scary and demanding and hard and so on, but if a person, it's mamish gan Eden, a time there's no time the whole year where a person has such a feeling of his karvus Hashem, and which is the tachlis of his life, and it's a time mamish being in Gan Eden. The Rebbe says so too, not just a daiga, not just when you're worried about something. But you feel inside of you a simcha. Afim hi simcha min yishuv gufanis. Even if it's a simcha that comes with something physical, that something could happen to you, whatever, with work, with money, whatever it might be, that you weren't feeling, and now you feel okay. Whatever it is, lo yisazov es shas hakoyshe shel nitzoyts es galus nafshecha. Don't neglect this opportunity that a spark of your soul has surfaced. Was the feeling of simcha is also es galus nefesh. V'tamad bezavis, go someplace in the corner. V'tayma ezer pirkei tehillim. Tayma shazu shel laharbis betehillim. Just a little bit of tilm. Kama perg yud ches, Hashem chizki and so on, suri echzabai, megini v'kayin yishim, mizgabi. Ukshit tigmar is a tilm. And when you finish saying a little bit tilm, tedaber kenal beficha. Then, again, speak with your own words. Rebbein shalala maida ani lecha. Rebbein shalala, I want to thank you. Al goydel chazdecha, shata mashgiach alai. I want to thank you for your great kindness, for your love, that you're always watching me. And you're always, with your great love, you're always helping me. And you're always guiding me in a good way for my good, whatever good, even if I don't see it, but you know, but now you feel it, now you see it very strongly. And specifically, for the Yeshua that you brought me in this Inyan, whatever it is, Panos or something, for the Yeshua that you brought me in this Inyan, the Shuv Targish Aliyah Canal, you'll see that the Simcha that you feel after a few minutes is not a Simcha. The Simcha is not a Simcha for the bonus, with work, or the Simcha is not because of whatever it is that you enjoyed. But the simcha is going to be a simcha of Sais Asas Bashem from this week's Haftarah. A simcha Bashem. A simcha Bashem. And you'll feel this Aliyah in Simcha Gufanis, L'smayach Bashem. That it's going to change from being just a simple little physical joy that's connected to physical things, and you'll feel a simcha b'Hashem. That's what it means. Sayis asas b'Hashem. Togel nafshi be'elokai. That I rejoice in Hashem. And togel nafshi be'elokai. It's so hard for us to imagine that. We could think of so many things in the world that make us feel happy. And they're not the nice things with family, feeling love for somebody, those good feelings. But for Sayis asas b'Hashem, togel nafshi be'elokai, to feel a simcha b'Hashem. So what the Rebbe is saying, and this is the whole Torah of Hashem, is that we don't know how to approach Hashem directly and to feel that way about Him. But we do know how to feel. And the emotions of a Jew are his galus and nefesh. And if a person uses the his galus and nefesh, like in Shir HaShirim, to use the Shir HaShirim as a way of approaching the Ribbono Shel Olam, that the his galus and nefesh of the chasm and kalas is it could take a person can rise and lift him and be lifted up above the inyan of the simcha of the chasm and kala to a simcha of Sayis asas b'Hashem, togel nafshi b'elokai. That a person feels a simcha b'Hashem. But we don't know how to go directly to that. We don't know how to feel directly a simcha b'Hashem, but we know how to feel simcha for other things. And we don't have to even try that. Just when something happy happens, when something good happens, you anyway b'simcha. You don't have to try. Of course, if there's Hashem b'simcha, simcha is not avoided. Try to be b'simcha. We're not even talking about that. We're not even talking about if there's Hashem b'simcha. We're talking about Bangkok, you feel a simcha. For whatever it is, something makes you happy. So you don't know that at that moment that there's a hisgalus and nefesh, and that you and that in the highest sherish of who you are, your neshama is screaming to be able to share the simcha of Hashem with you, in Hashem with you, of sois asis b'Hashem. But this is how to you use the things of this world as a means to the much, much greater end of Laman Chalukim Chai. So instead of trying to figure out how can I get close to Hashem, how can I feel any simcha b'Hashem? We don't know how to do that, but we know how to have feelings of daigus and feelings of simcha. These are things that happen to us naturally. It's hisgalus hanefesh. And then when a person uses that hisgalus hanefesh with tefillah, so then he begins to understand that the Baruch Hu only sent me that daiga so that I should be able to connect to him. And the reason that the Baruch Hu sent me a couple extra dollars was that I should be happy of Sayis Asas B'Hashem, of Laman Chalukim Chaim, that I should be able to feel good about being a Yid. Not to feel good that now I have some more money. There's nothing wrong with feeling that, but it's an opportunity to rise above that and to have such an aliyah that where it's not the money that's the real simcha. It's the togel nafshi belokai that a person feels. So what began initially as a simcha that was very meshuba the makusha, the things of this world that you didn't even try to do. It's just the things that happened to you. But since this is gal sanefesh, and you connect it to tefillah, so then the outer layers of the simcha are peeled away, and what's revealed is the sayis asas b'Hashem, is the simcha b'Hashem that's revealed, which is the whole tachlis that a person goes to, all the things of his life, everything that we go through is only to come to the bechina of his kavus Hashem. That's everything that we go through, anything that's good and whatever is not good. So a person has a daiga. The daiga is mislabesh in all kinds of things. So the daiga is mislabesh. And how am I going to pass this test? How am I going to pay the bills? And all the daigas, it's all his slabshus of what? Of kivus Hashem. And the only reason that you're put through that is his karvus lashav. That's it. Every single thing that a Jew goes to, it's only for the tachas of l'man chalakim chaim, of Hashem hu elokim. And all the bakashas and all the things that we ask for, it's only that draws us closer to the Rosh Hashanah, to speak to him and to talk to him, to ask him. And once you come into that world, even if he doesn't answer you the way that you originally thought was so important for you to have that, it doesn't bother you anymore. Because you don't need that anymore, because the tachlis of davening was accomplished, which is the skavus of Hashem. Whether you get the promotion or you don't get the promotion. But the tachlis of davening was accomplished, which is the skavus of Hashem. That's what I was saying before. The Navi comes and tells you that, don't worry, it was a good Rosh Hashanah, and your tefillahs were all answered, you're going to be close to Hashem this year. So the way that we're thinking right now is that would be a very big letdown. That the Navi comes and says that it's going to be a good year because you're going to be close to Hashem. When you wish somebody, you say, someone wishes you a good year, it's a very, very big thing. It's a very big, big thing. The Rebbe Shabbos from Lubavitch said that the whole tachlis of this entire time of the year, the whole tachlis of everything, is that you didn't say to each other, a good year. It's that everybody says, V'shana tov v'tekos v'zichos lev, l'al t'l'chaim tov v'l'sholem, that you didn't say good things to each other, it's the tachlis of all things this year. And that all the hashpoyos come from Jews saying good things to each other and meaning it, saying a good year. So let's say you say to somebody, now from this entire time, we say to anybody, any Jew that we talk to when we walk away from, we say a good year, right? A good year. Or if you're Israeli, say Shana Tova, a good year. So what if the guy stops you and says, what do you mean exactly? I appreciate that, it was very nice what you said to me. What do you mean when you wish me a good year? So what are you going to answer? So you answer, a good year, you know, that everything should work out, you know, with the kids and the issue with panos, or if you need a shidduch, you get a shidduch, it's a good year. But just in off the cuff, would somebody say, what do you think I meant, a good year? I meant a good year meant a year of iskav v'slashah. Shana taifa masuka should be a sweet year, your davening should be gevald, your learning should be gevald. I mean, that's the tachlis. That's the tachlis. And if a person comes to that, so then even if the other things are not so gewaldig, how about they should be? Everything should be good. But even if it's not, but the mesikas of better learning, of better davening, the mesikas of more mitzvahs, and the mesikas of closeness to the Baruch Shalom, then the person realizes that he didn't need all the things that he thought that he needed. He was talking about and asking for. He didn't need all those things. What we think that we need is because what we think when we say a good year means a good year. Means I know that you wanted for a long time to fix up your basement, so a good year. You should fix up your basement. I know that for a long time, you know, that you wanted to be able to, you know, move to a better, a good year. So everybody says to you the whole time, a good year, good year, good year, and you know that they're talking about, you know, you're getting a house or whatever. So it catches, you know, you begin to think about it like yourself. Wow, I really hope it'll be a good year. If all these people are wishing me that, you know, a good year, that I should be able to make, you know, the extension of my house. It's a good year, good year. So you think, I really hope I get that extension. Because otherwise it's not going to be a good year. Because everybody's telling me a good year. And I ask them, what do you mean? It means you have the extension. It's a good year. A good year. This should be a good year. More learning and more davening. More mitzvahs. Better ben alma chaveiro and tikkun amidas. Kedusha sadibu, kedusha seinayim. That's what it means, a good year. And you could tell somebody, you tell a friend, I want to wish you, mamash, I'm wishing you a good year. You should have whatever you need, but I want to wish you a good year that you should have. And tell them a whole long list. You should have a year that you're not going to fall into a virus, that everybody has struggles with. It should be a good year. That's a person. It's a tachlis of being in this world. And then mimela, you see that the things that were worrying you about this world, are the things that you thought were so important and they're going to make you happy of this world. They don't make you. That's not what worries you, and it's not what makes you happy. And that's what it means to be in a Gan Eden. It means to be alive in this world, but not to need the world. Like the Bali Musa said, and I've said to you many times, The world is a gewaldige place for those who don't need it. It's a very deep word. The world is a beautiful place for those who don't need it. For those who aren't crazy about it. But for those who need this world, it stinks. For those who really need this world, it's bad. It's a bad place. That's how it is. You could say, boy, isn't that ironic? The ones who don't need the world, it's a good place. The ones who need the world, it's not a good place. Because this is not the tachlis of a Jew, this world. So if you don't need it, then everything is good. And if you do need it, then nothing is good. That's how it is. And that's what he says, Ubederach Hazeh, and Kuf Yud Zayin, the second paragraph there. Ubederach Hazeh, Lo Yisazov, Afilo Anocha Yetzim Imcha. In this way, if you live this way, then even the slightest anocha, the slightest sigh, the slightest krech that comes from your mouth is not just dam, it's not just some meaningless krech over the world. Kafilu min anocha pshuta ketana v'kal l'gufan, it's because even from a tiny little krech about something physical, about something in this world, there comes a krech comes from deep inside a person's heart, a krech. Sometimes a krech, the whole shayf is a krech. A shayf is a krech, right? Since it's much deeper than anything that you could say. It's much deeper than anything. So sometimes, you know, you have a person that's having, God forbid, terrible terrors with one of his children. And you say, you know, what's doing with Avram? What's doing? And he goes, what should I tell you? What is it? You know, that's a shayfa. That's a shayfa. It's min sakara sika, right? Anani mamerechavka. What am I going to tell you? I can't tell you anything. You ask me what's with Avramel. It's a krech. It's a shayfa. Like the Svarim say that when the Baal Tekeah blows the shayfa, all of the krechs and all of the krechs of the Jewish people throughout the year all go into the shayfa. That's what a shayfa is. All of the krechtsen of all of Klai Yisrael goes into the shayfa. There's the ikka that's in the shvarm and the truah, and all of the simcha, of a Jew, that of Jewish people everywhere goes into tkiyah. Because there's a krechts like that too, right? So, someone says, "How was the tzimis?" It feels so good. It's a simcha. How's it sound? Huh? Okay, but whatever you like. You know, each person's got his own. You know, it's just whatever you like. But a krech is also, so that's all the krechs of Jews for good things that can't be put into words, because it was just, you know, a little Gan Eden. All of that goes into tekiyas and the shurim truas, all of the sebrachim kind. That you can't even put into a word. It's just how are things at work? that's the shayfa. That's the shayfa. All of that, all of the person's worries, all of that. But during the year, all those little tkiyas and truas that a person's able to use those as opportunities, because it's times of Hizgalus and Nefesh. Very, very big Hizgalus and Nefesh during those times. So it all comes together by the Shefa. Shefa Goli Yataka, we call the moment Daki Yishama, Malach Yichapez, and Chilavad Echazen. All of the Anachas, all of the Krechsen, all of the things that you couldn't say. That's what Gan Eden is. It's what Gan Eden is. What is it, though?
Everything's about getting close to Hashem. Everything is really for the good. And the tzaddik, even here, great people, they don't really complain. I don't understand why there's so much emphasis on correction and complaining. It should be more on, like, everything's for the good. Be happy, be accepting. It seems like crying is good. But I thought, not crying was good.
You have to cry. You know, I thought that I was explaining it, that you have to cry. Your person has to cry out to the Russian to come to a place where he doesn't feel that, where it's not hurting him anymore.
Where you focus on it, you come to crying. You focus on happiness, you come to happiness. Focusing on crying, crying.
That's not the focus. That's what I'm trying to explain. The focus is on closeness to Hashem's Baruch and having a relationship with Hashem. And just like a child initially, when the child, the immaturity of the child is just crying to daddy for this and crying to daddy for that. But through that experience of knowing to always come to daddy, he develops a relationship with daddy, then he cries to daddy just to be with daddy. That's part of, that's the process of how it works. So you're not, that's the whole point of what he's saying, is that we have to come through those things to come to the tachlis of closeness to Hashem. Because of our being so preoccupied with problems and complaints and difficulties and sadness and so on, it's very hard for us to free ourselves of those things and to have a pure relationship with Hashem. But when we use those things as ways of approaching Hashem, and we come to Him with our daigus, and we come to Him with our joy, so then we begin to realize that the main thing is not the daigus or the joy, the main thing is coming to Him. And mimela, we're able to be freed from those things that are weighing us down. That's the whole thing that he's explaining. That's exactly the point. But it's a mahalach of how to get there. So, you know, to say, why are we crying so much if we're not supposed to be? But that's how we get to that point, because we're human beings. And as human beings, especially human beings who are far from Hashem, we often cry. So the answer, what you're saying is, well, then we shouldn't cry. But that's not the answer for us. Maybe by some great people, but by regular people, you know. I hope you're not the kind of father that when your kid is very upset and cries, you tell him, well, you're stupid, this is what you're crying about. You don't say that. You understand that the child, there's something that's hurting the child. For a child that's upsetting. So you try to enter into the child's world. It's just the same thing. But eventually, we're hoping that the child's not going to cry about an Irish guy. But what is important is that when the child has something that's upsetting to him, he comes to his parents. Of course, nowadays, already when they're 4 years old, he maybe goes online to look for some help. But we still hope that there's a possibility that he'll come to his parents, you know? So all of that is to be able to have a kesha with your father, with your mother. So you're going to say, well, why don't you tell your kids, why don't you just have a direct relationship with me instead of always crying about such an Irish guy? The main thing is to be close to me, right? The kid says, no. The main thing is I have problems. But you're the only guy that I think could help me. It's the same thing with Hashem. But eventually you mature, you're following? You mature and you come to a point where you realize that's not the ikkah. The ikkah is the relationship, not the problem. But we don't go directly there, just like children don't. It's the same exact thing. So the emphasis is not on problems. The emphasis is on how to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when we know that the only one that we could turn to with our problems is Him, we develop a kesher with Him. We develop a kesher. So that it comes to a point where one realizes that that's the tachlis of all the things that I go through, is that I should have a kesher with Him. That's the tachlis. But we wouldn't know how to get there if it wouldn't be with these things that the Rebbe is explaining. We wouldn't know how to get to that point. You follow? That's what it means. Where's Dalin? V'loy hisrak shuscha mimin habeiz levad. So we were talking just now, he was talking about a person stam feels happy, he's stam worried, not about any mitzvahs, aveiros, or this or that, or he's stam for whatever he feels, things that happen. So he says, meaning some sort of a hargosha that's mislabish, that's enclosed in some physical garment. Not only can you use that as a way to have Israq Shishvashem and to get close to Hashem, Raggam and Hagosh Hashem Min HaShlishi Shekva Atamargish Rotsan of Israq Shishleva Dovagashmi. Now we're talking about already something else. Where a person, it's not Stam, a Daiger, a Simcha. Here we're talking, the third category, he's talking about where a person feels a taiva for something physical. as a taiva, he has a rotzen, and his rock just lays a davagashmi. That's done. Even with that, which the Svarim talk a lot about, even from that, that's dam, whatever a mood or a feeling, but there's a taiva, a person's a taiva for something. Even from that, it could add to a person's disvachus of Yiras Hashem and Ahavas Hashem. Ki kvar manu la'el misvarim kadoshim. We already learned before. Shagam nefesh Bahamas. That even the nefesh of Bahamas, even the animal soul, Ashimena kol taivas oilam azebos, from which all of the taivas of this world come, from the nefesh of Bahamas. Beisha Yisraeli gam hi mikdushim in pnei shorash of Merkava. We learn that even the taivas that come from the nefesh of Bahamas, by a Jew, by lahavdil, by a goy, no, it's something else, but by a yid, even those taivas that come from the Nefesh of Bahamas are really, really coming from a place of holiness. The Nefesh of Bahamas comes from that side of the Merkava, the vision of Yechezkel, which is Pnei Shor, the face of the ox, which is the place from where the Nefesh of Bahamas emerges, which is also from the Merkava of Hashem, a place of holiness. Rakshim Mislabesh is Belavushim Lemuchim. It's just, this is Mislabesh, not in plain things like work or children. It's Mislabesh in things that are low. Nefesh Bahamas is it comes from holiness, but it's like we learned many times with the Baal Shem Tov called Ahava and the Fula. You know, Ahava is beautiful, but it falls into Ahava, and it's Shirish. Ahava is very holy, but in this present situation, it's fallen into something which is ugly. Ahava and the Fula, and therefore it's Mislabish B'Levushim Namuchim. It's enclosed in very low and ugly garments. Liat says Badvar Namuchim. The person wants very low things. But it comes from the Merkava. It comes from a place of Kedusha. By a Jew. By a Goy not. By a Goy comes from Klipas Temeis Lagamri. But by a Jew it comes from the Nefesh Bahamas itself is also as Galus HaNefesh. It comes from the Shorish, by the Pnei Shorish of the Merkava. But the Avodah of a person is in its heart, V'ala Adam Lahitziyam in Levusha. The avodah of a person is to extract that kedusha, that ruah ahava, to extract it from its levush, from the garment that is covering it. Min levusha hara ulahalbisha b'levusha kedusha, and to put on new clothing, to put onto it the clothing of kedusha. Nimsa shegam kishemargi sheish ezes ragshus l'davar namach. Therefore, even if a person feels excited something strongly about a davar namach, something which is low, shnei dvarim begon, there are two things going on. Echad, there are two things here. Echad is ragshus hanefesh. First of all, if you break it down into two things, the guy feels an excitement about something bad. There are two things. There's the excitement, and the excitement, the Sarkis and Nefesh, is something. That's what we're seeking in life, is his Sarkis. So that's something that we very much want, that there should be an excitement, there should be his Sarkis. That's the first thing. The Habay is the second thing, is the second thing, of course, is the actual object of this person's excitement, which is bad, which is something which is ugly. It's a levush ra. It's a garment that is ra. Shinis lapsha b'heros hanefesh. When you get a kid in school, you have a kid in the house, and the kid's like an unbelievably wild kid. So the worst thing to do is to remove the wildness from the child. The best thing to do is to somehow to get that child somehow to be wild over good things, right? But to remove the excitement, to destroy the lev misragish of a child, which often happens, that's a terrible, terrible crime. It's shvichas dam mamish. It's murder. It's murder. The ikur is what do we do with this child? Such a misragish. The child is I told you many times that we don't usually think of the Biskarov, you know, when you it comes to mind, you don't think of like of cheerful things, you know. He was very, very, you know, austere person. I don't mean that in a bad way. He was very austere. But I told you many times that somebody came, some Talmid Chacham came to talk to the Biskarov, and the Biskarov, all of his Einiklich, their grandchildren, they're all running around and knocking into things and knocking things over and playing and, you know, laughing. They were kids having a good time before they became, you know, Biskarov Yeshivas themselves. They were having a good time. They were running around playing. And this Talmid Chacham was there with the Biskarov, and he was getting very annoyed. And finally he said, "No, still!" You know, he gave the Biskarov Zeniklach a scream. And the Biskarov said to this Talmid Chacham, he said, "You should know that the Etzim, every single Jew, the Etzim, is filled as mole, all of the simcha, the joy of the child. And that child, what these children are doing right now, is the most natural thing in the world for a Jew. The Rachmanis," he says, "is on us." As the Biskarov said, "The Rachmanis on us, that somehow something happened along the way. But what they're doing is the most natural thing. That feeling that they have is the most natural, healthy feeling. There's nothing unusual about that." So you have where children are growing up, and they're constantly, of course you have to discipline them. It can't be hefker in the house with stamp to break things and scream, and everybody says, "It's okay, kids, have a good time." But that's clinic I had. I'm talking about how that they should be well-mannered and well-behaved, but you have to be careful not to cross over the border and to snuff out the neshama of a child. That he shouldn't be they shouldn't have a lev misragish. He shouldn't be a child. It's bad enough that society doesn't allow children to be children anymore because of the things that are in the world. But that we ourselves should take away that healthy hisragishus. That's what we're looking for. But it's mislabish and bad things. Mislabish and bad things. Some of the greatest tzaddikim were unbelievably Lebedic children. Reb Chaim Brisker, they would say now in the lashonis of this street, which I so dislike, out of control. They say that about a lot of things now, out of control. If something is very, very good, they'll say that's out of control. Reb Chaim Brisker, when he was a child, was totally out of control. They didn't know what to do with him. That we have from tzaddikim when they were children, and what to do with that distractions, what to do with the koiches and nefesh. It's in slabish and a bad levush. But the Rebbe says, "V'lu here gashnu aysam l'shnei dvarim." If we would break these things down into two compartments. In other words, we would see that it's good. The distractions is good, just the levush is bad. I'm a slabish levad. That's what we do. Hey, Srakshus Levada. If we would see this, Srakshus Givaldig. But we see how disgusting the Levush is. Then we'd be able to deal with each one in a good way. The Srakshus would be able to be taken and be used in a good way. And we'd see the thing that's disgusting for being disgusting, we'd say, "Ech," and we throw it away. Our problem is, they get all together like that. We don't know how to break them apart, to separate them. That's the whole avoider. Ki oz lo hayis sakana kol kach tzvila, but they say that we wouldn't be in such danger with our avid zisha, with our avoider. Val da akka, mashana margisha meisam kachas. The problem is we feel them like one thing. Ki lo hayi b'zeh shnei dvar markech, like it's one. What's the nomach l'dav azeh aizeh? You feel a disgusting feeling and interest and excitement about something that's low. And you look at yourself, Mele, as being a low person, and disgusting person, and what do disgusting people do? Disgusting things. Right? And it's all one thing. Kadeshenu Avas Achsidis Omushalai Dailali Ishis Apik Matavesa Rose. The Talmud Yibal Shem said that it's not enough to hold back from your disgusting taivas. That the tachlis is to make that separation, and that should be l'tachlis hakedusha, that all the bad mitzvahs should be l'tayv. Shabrotzen hazeh shabrotzen esara mi'ata, that same rotzen that you had that so desperately was wanted the ra and was mislavish and such ra mi'ata es hatayv es hakedusha yitzeh. So that's something that should be a shana tayv umesuka. Chanal motzu b'kachum zeh remes b'tayv b'hashom meishav n'laparo ki menu nikach lav zeshem. Moshe Rabbeinu said, we're going to take all the animals, all these different things. Why do you need all that stuff? We're going to take all of the Bahamias, all of that which is animal in our lives. We're going to serve Hashem. Power doesn't understand. God can't understand. What does that mean? With a tithes, So Moshe Rabbeinu says, which the God can't understand. With the Bahamias, you want to say to go to take, you want to be good, go to a convent, go to a monastery, fast, and torture yourself, and don't get married, and do all those things. Maybe if Yashka saves you, could be good. Power doesn't understand. Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, me menu nikach lav zeshem. A geshmak, a piece of fish, and challah, and chrein, good. Me menu nikach lav zeshem. With getting married, with children, with everything in this world, me menu nikach lav zeshem. Not to run away to the monastery, to the hill. Well, anyway, they're all completely shaku and all their tithes. Which is, cause it's good to end the chitayv. I told you many times here in Shul how my father remembers that the yeshiva where they were in his hometown in Europe, that the goyim used to always make all the religious things on one side of town. They used to build. In other words, they gave a shus, and over there they made the shuls, the place of the zohar, the cemeteries, everything was. So my father said that they used to play. A little bit. Sometimes they used to go outside and they would play soccer. You know, they play there by the field, and it was a field, a big field in between the Beis Medrash, and they had there a big convent for the nuns, and they would play soccer over there. My father said that he remembers twice growing up that they found dead babies in the dirt when they were playing. They used to go there. The Heilige Schwestern were pregnant, and they would go with the babies, and they would put them over there. My father says, and it was, and then it came back and told the Rebbe. And said, oh, well, there was, the Rebbe, what do you think is going on? You think they're davening over there? It's davening. Just I want to end in a good way. We should be zeichen. Be a good year.